This is FBG Jen.
And FBG Kristen.
And I'm FBG Margo, host and producer. You're listening to the podcast that will help you keep a lid on the junk in the trunk and inspire you to live a happy and confident life.
Each episode, we chat with motivational experts and celebs and share our own candid adventures in being healthy.
If you're looking for a podcast that's equal parts hilarious and enlightening, well then welcome to the Fit Bottomed Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bound Girls podcast. And today our interview is with a woman who has a site called Hey Fran Hey. Her name is Francesca. She is beautiful. She is smart. She is lovely. She is delightful. And we just can't wait for you guys to hear this interview today. And I just wanted to talk to you about, to you both about, what did you think of our interview today with Francesca?
Oh my gosh, she was like a little ball of light, right?
Yes. Yep.
Like just such like good, positive, but also like excited, but also like chill energy.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her. Yeah. Very positive yet serene. And you just like, she just seemed so like steady, you know?
Yeah.
Like she's the kind of person you just really want that kind of person in your life. Right.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, so great that she's got such a good online presence because she can be in all of our lives to some extent.
Right.
Well, she has two podcasts. She has a YouTube channel. She has a very popular blog. And then she has this wellness tour that she's going on. Like, and how great does this wellness tour sound?
Oh, so cool.
Yeah. Want to go immediately.
Yes.
So she talks all about that. And when you hear the show, she gives the website and we'll put that in the show notes too. So if you guys want to try to get tickets to her show, they're selling out from what I understand. So she's just, she is super popular. So she mentions in the interview today that I love, my favorite part of this interview was this idea about mental hygiene. And I didn't know what that meant at first. And then she started talking about it. And basically she likes to keep things close to her that will boost her energy in a moment. Because in a moment, your attitude can change, right? Something can happen to you. Somebody can say something mean or whatever, and it could hurt your mood. And so she likes to have things close by to cheer her up. And so my question to you guys, what would you bring with you for a mood boost, you know, on the go? Like, what would be helpful for you?
Oh, my gosh. It's such a good question. And I really did love her her answer about mental hygiene, too. I thought it was a great way to think about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's exactly responsible of me to, like, keep a bottle of wine nearby.
In the baby carriage?
Yeah, exactly. And this doesn't always work. But really, like, most of the times if I'm with my daughter, I mean, aww. I can usually, I know, it's really cute, right? But I can, like... You know, when she's having a tantrum, obviously that's not going to work, you know, but a lot of the times if you just kind of like, if she's with me, I can kind of stop and just really focus in on her and be present in the moment and play with her, or interact with her, or giggle with her, or be silly with her, or whatever, is always just a breath of fresh air.
Aww. What about you, Kristen?
Well, it's like Jen said, it's a really good question. And I think that like within, like if I'm at home, a lot of times if I find myself sort of losing my positive attitude, lighting, I feel like we've talked about scents a lot on the show, but really for me, like lighting a really fragrant candle, not only like the scent of it, but also sometimes it'll give me something to focus on if I want to sit and meditate and just try to get myself in a better place.
Yeah.
You know, something about like the light and all of that tends to feel really good. And then I also am not shy about just like snuggling up with my dogs or forcing my cat to love me.
I'm the same
How about
way.
You, Margo?
I'm the same way. You know, I like the scents and I like my pets. And I have friends that I know, like I can text, you know, anytime and they can just kind of shoot me back some positive vibes that like it's like that dopamine in your brain. It just kind of goes, okay, I'm loved. I'm accepted.
Yeah.
Okay. Like just kind of those little things help me. And then good music, you know, positive music.
Always. Yeah.
Looking for sunshine. If there's like, go to the window, look out the window, look at the sun, you know, things like that. That's what always like helps my attitude. So that's what I would do.
In this interview, she talks about how she has this morning ritual.
Yes.
She always plays a Miles Davis record. And it's so funny because after that, I was just like, I really need to get like some sort of like, I got to get my morning mojo back. And a lot of times I have put on that record because of her. And like, it's awesome. So thanks, Francesca, for that. Thanks for that tip.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so she's also a podcaster like us, but she does a recap podcast. She's the official recap podcaster, for HBO's Insecure, which is a fantastic show. And so I was going to say to you guys, if you could recap a show, which one would it be?
So I thought about this one a lot. And it didn't matter how much I thought about it. I always was just like, nope. The first answer that popped into my head is the one that I would go back to over and over and over again. Sex and the City all the time. Over. Yes. I just feel like you could say any, you know, at that time and at this time, you know, just in history, you could watch any of those episodes and just have so many things, so many avenues to go down of things to discuss, whether you like it or you don't like it, or you find it funny or you don't find it funny. I think there's just a lot of fodder and material there.
So much. And watching it now,
it's different.
There's almost more because it's like, oh wow, they went there. Or, you know, gosh, that's, you know, Samantha is so not all that boundary pushing. Like, that's just totally normal now.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, I've seen all of them, but you see them now. It's completely different. Yeah.
My sister went through a marathon of, like, watching a bunch of those episodes, like, within a couple of months. Like, she just downloaded like crazy. And she called me one day and she just said, that Carrie is an awful person. Like, all of a sudden, she said, when you add it all up, like, she's a terrible friend. I'm like, I never thought of it because I watched it week by week. Like, I just got used to them over the years. So I never even thought about it. That's a good answer. So, Kristen, what do you think? Which show would you like to talk about?
Well, I won't lie. Sex and the City crossed my mind because that was the entire reason I had HBO at one point. But I think I'm going to have to say Golden Girls.
Yes.
That's a great one.
I would totally do that.
I am a Golden Girls-aholic. I love it. I don't know if it's if they're like more local stations or because I've got whatever TV thing I've got. But almost every Sunday, there's a Golden Girls marathon going on in the morning. And if I'm just like, you know, tooling around or cleaning the house or, well, let's be honest, I'm not cleaning the house, but if I'm just like hanging out, I usually have that playing in the background, and like to the point where this has become a thing that like my friends know about me, and nobody even bats an eye if they come over and that's like on the TV anymore. So, and plus they were really pushing. I mean, I was talking about Samantha pushing boundaries. They were seriously making statements. You know, they talked about
absolutely
AIDS and race and, you know, and sexuality, both like hetero, homo, and just the fact that like they were women who weren't 25 years old and they were getting some.
Yeah.
And that it was still a big deal. And I just like, I think it's amazing. I love it. I love all of it. And Betty White should be our next guest. I just decided.
Oh my gosh!
Oh my god! I'll ask her.
Betty,
I'll put the word out. I'll put the word out.
We can talk about animals.
Did you watch that show when you were a kid? When you were younger?
I didn't pick any of it up then.
What, you didn't?
The Golden Girls?
I did watch it, but I didn't really follow.
My parents watched it. It's funny. Like,
yeah. I thought it was really innocent, and now that I'm watching it, now I'm like, oh dang.
It was like, racy.
It was so saucy.
Very saucy. It has great jokes. Like, I miss sitcoms because there's nothing on nowadays that makes me laugh as hard as Golden Girls. Like, those jokes land and they still last. Bea Arthur.
Yes.
Bea Arthur with one look on her face can crack me up for like 5 minutes.
Yes. Yes. All I want to do is become Dorothy's Bornak. Like,
yes.
You know, like That's what my goal in life pretty much is.
Like your spirit animal.
Yeah, I'm just not that badass.
You are.
You are. You're getting there.
Mm. How about you, Margo?
So I thought about this too, and there's already one out there, but it's this podcast. It's called Odd G's, but they talk about the show Fargo. And I love that show. It's like, I love the original movie, but the show itself is so smart and there's so much going on and it's so crazy. And they have these two people in the Midwest, of course, and they're at an NPR station, I want to say in like Minneapolis, and they have those accents and they talk about the show and everything that happened. And like, I guess I'm putting myself out there. I want to be a guest on Odd G's when it comes back this April. That would make me so happy.
Why not?
So I'm going to send that out to the universe. I'll send them a tweet to this episode. So yeah, I would totally be on Odd G's. Totally. Okay. So are we ready? We wanted to talk to you guys about, we want to hear more from our fans and our listeners, because we love doing this show. We have such a great time with it. We want to know what you think of it. You know, what guests you want us to have on the show? What's your favorite segment? Do you like the part where we talk at the beginning? Do you like it when we're all on an interview, or is it better when there's just a couple of us on the interview? Like, we just want to hear from you guys. What do you want us to talk about? Do you have questions for us that you want us to answer? Is there guests you want us to try to get? Please reach out to us, right? We want to hear from you. So you can find us, you can send us an email, podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. You can reach out to us on Facebook. You can reach out to us on Twitter. We're totally available. So I guess we just wanted to send that out to the universe, to you guys. You know, if you're fans of the show, like, please let us know what you love and what you want more of, and we'll respond. We'd love to do a show where we just answer questions. So if you got questions for us, that would be totally fun.
Or if you want us to talk about Golden Girls for an entire hour, we could do that as well.
Clearly, that would not be a problem.
That would not be a problem. You know, it's on Hulu right now, so it's getting a lot of press lately. Like, the Golden Girls are on Hulu. Yeah. So, yeah. So, if you guys want to talk about Golden Girls, tell us. We'll do an episode on Golden Girls. Trust me. That would not be a hardship.
Make that happen. Yes. And don't forget, I mean, you guys can also leave reviews if you love us. Like, that's super acceptable. We dig that.
Fair game.
We would really love that. Some reviews. If you find us in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. But definitely leave a 5-star review. We'll read your review on the air. Promise. We have a stack of those we're going to do. And that would be amazing. So should we just roll right into our interview today with Francesca?
Yeah, you guys enjoy Fran. She's awesome. Yeah,
she's
hey,
awesome.
Fran, hey.
Hey, Fran, hey.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Today, our special guest is Francesca Medina. She is a lifestyle influencer based out of Harlem, New York. After years of battling a chronic illness and then healing herself through alternative medicine, nutrition, and fitness, she became an advocate of more conscious living. In hopes of inspiring others to do the same, Francesca founded HeyFranHey.com in January of 2011. Since launching, HeyFranHey engages via monthly health and fitness challenges, mental and emotional hygiene discussions, and Q&As on issues spanning from homemade recipes for acne and hair loss to DIY recipes for natural deodorant and lip balm. Francesca has since launched the HeyFranHey YouTube channel, is a producer and one-third of the Loudspeakers Network Wellness podcast, The Friend Zone, as well as host of HBO's official recap podcast for their show Insecure. Francesca hopes to continue to expand and spread her message of optimum health for all. Welcome to the show, Fran.
Hello. Thank you guys for having me. I'm a huge fan of your site and the podcast, so this is pretty awesome to be on it.
Well, we are so thrilled to have you. So I'm on the line. This is Margot. And on the line today, we also have Jen.
Hey, guys.
And we have Kristen.
Hello.
So, Francesca, I'm going to ask you the first question. We're just going to jump right into it, talking about the Friend Zone podcast, where you are the lone female voice in that trio. How did you get started with the show, and how are you liking the medium?
I absolutely love podcasting. Being that I come from YouTube, where you have, you know, 5 to 7 minutes to get your point across, it's so much nicer to have at least 2 hours worth of speaking and layers to deconstruct with our topic. So it allows me to do more research. It allows us to have, you know, our different perspectives. We kind of debate topics, and obviously we don't always agree. So it's kind of nice to just show more well-rounded perspectives on just different topics that we think are important to our community. So it's been really great. I love the transition. Like I was saying, it's cool that people are like, oh, it's only 2 hours. You know, that's such a contrast from people being like, this video is too long, when it's like 10 minutes. You know, so I appreciate that aspect of it being a more long-winded platform. And as far as how...
Yeah, and I think...
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry. I'm so excited about my question. But no, continue. Please tell us how you got started with Friend Zone.
And then as far as how we got started, Dustin Ross and Asante Smith, who are my co-hosts, we were already friends, so it was a pretty organic connection. And they had been making guest appearances on their Friends podcast, which is The Read, which is the biggest podcast on the Loudspeakers Network. And their cameos were doing really well. People genuinely enjoyed them on the show and started writing into the head of Loudspeakers Network asking if they could get a spinoff. And I guess the messages were that it was that many that people were really interested in this. And of course, the CEO was like, okay, we got to get these guys a show. But they felt that they needed a third host just to kind of, you know, add a different element. And they wanted it to be a wellness-based podcast. So they were like, who but Fran? she's already our friend. She's been discussing wellness online for at least 6 years. So it was kind of, it just made sense. And it was great that we already knew each other. So there wasn't, it was an undeniable chemistry already there. So it was easy to fall into. And yeah, we just jumped right in and haven't looked back ever since. And it's been an awesome ride.
I think one of the most fun things that we've experienced podcasting is just, you know, you like go down so many different like rabbit holes that you don't expect to go down. You're like, okay, right, we're going to talk about this. And then all of a sudden, like you're having some other like deep conversation that you're like, oh, wow, that's fun. I think that makes like podcasting, because it is, it's just like a conversation. And I think with your other podcast, Insecurity, that's, you know, that's what it feels like. You have that like play on words. Like I assume like you're having tea with like.
Yes.
And talking about the show. So can you talk a little bit more about how Insecurity came about and how that's what that's been like for you?
Yeah, my co-host, Crystal, she is actually the co-host on The Read, which is that initial podcast that I was saying that Asante and Dustin were jumping on every couple of weeks that allowed us to have a spinoff show. So she and I came together. We were already cool with Issa Rae, who was the director, writer, and main actress on Insecure. And she had been she's a fan of our work online. So it was just this natural idea of, I guess she's trying to lift as she climbs. You know, she got this awesome show on HBO, and she thought, hey, I want to put these magical black girls and give them their own podcast based on my show. And just kind of have us all thrive together, which I thought was awesome of her to even consider us for it. And yeah, and that's me and Crystal. Like I said, we're already friends. So the show is basically feels like you're with your girls in the living room discussing a cool new HBO show. It has a very laid back vibe. I love that HBO didn't really give us any talking points. They just kind of.
Oh, really?
Like,
that's cool.
Yeah, they were very free. They were like, do your thing. Which is nice because we didn't have to feel like we had to give the radio edit version of what we really wanted to say. And the fact that Issa Rae wrote such a great show, it gave us amazing content to work off of. So it was pretty great. I mean, I love the fact that we're all friends. Everyone is creative and we're all just kind of thriving on these podcast platforms. So it's been really fun and natural.
That is extremely cool. Now, one of the other things that you're doing that I think is exceptionally cool is your Supernatural Wellness Tour. Can you just tell us a little bit about that, what it's been like, what the coolest part is, what you're looking forward to?
Yeah, absolutely. A friend of mine, Jaradmi Gomez, who is actually the yin yoga practitioner on the tour, she grew up in the Dominican Republic in this beautiful, huge house. And her parents, you know, now that the kids are all out of the house and they're retiring, they were going to sell the house. And she thought, wait, hold on, you know, I have an idea for it. I would love to turn it into a retreat space. And, of course, her parents were like, you're going to have to show and prove. We don't know what that means. And they were like, we'll give you that to let us see if that would be a smarter move than just selling it, you know, because it is a big house. So she hit me up and was like, listen, I have the space. I want to turn it into a business. And I think having you come in and host your subscribers in a nice, like, wellness retreat space, it holds 12, 13 people. Was that something you would be willing to try? We can kind of and see what we can build off from there. And I thought, you know, that's actually a really cool addition to what I had already been creating online. And because it's such an it setting and only 12, 13 people, I thought that was a great way to kind of jump into that field and see if it was something that I felt I could continue on and resonated with me. So we invited my subscribers, promoted it. I brought on my friend Hasnea, who is well-versed in alternative medicine and herbs, essential oils. She has a brand called Resonant Resonance Apothecary. Mm-hmm. And so she's, you know, she makes all of her own mental health products, and it's just like a great fit between the three of us. We all do things that the other one doesn't, so we kind of are together by being together. And she agreed. We hosted our first retreat in DR for 5 days. Feedback was incredible. The women at the end of it, they just felt like it had been life-altering, and feeling that we made that deep of 5 days, which I was like hoping we could, it was just a great feeling. And I thought, man, we're onto something. You know, we should turn this into a tour. Not everyone can come to the Dominican Republic for 5 days, so we should make the stateside version and call it sort of like a pop-up tour. And we created it, and then Raw Apothecary, which is a brand I had been working with on YouTube, they were like, hey, we want to be a part of this.
Wow.
And they initially came to me to work on an ambassadorship, but when I explained to them that I was doing this tour and kind of explaining what my year was looking like, they totally gravitated to the tour idea and jumped on as the official sponsors, which was a huge weight off of my shoulders, because I honestly did not know how we were going to pay for 11 cities, but it worked out perfectly, which let me know that it was meant to be. And now we have 11 cities that we'll be visiting on the tour, with a possible 12th city that I was contacted about this weekend. And it's just growing. More sponsorship opportunities are coming. So I'm excited about, you know, what it's turning into, and excited to work with the women in the different cities. We kick off next month in Miami, and it's just going to be awesome. It's going to be so cool to meet my subscribers pretty much every month for the rest of 2017.
If you decide to come to Kansas City, please call me.
Yes, most definitely.
Okay. Or just, I'll just put in a vote for Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm really excited, because it's, the structure of the retreat, you know, we have yoga, we have amazing organic catered food, we have journaling. It's so like well structured, and there's no phones, and it's just like a nice break from the reality of the world.
Right.
It's a nice, you know, it's just a nice way to kind of just like lay down and relax and share with other women and realize that you're not alone in a lot of the things that you're going through. It's just a really great connection. I think because of technology, as amazing as it is for all of us, it also can allow you to kind of become a little bit of a hermit and be a little bit insulated, which I speak from experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice. Right. Yeah. So it's kind of nice to bring people together and have that connection again that I think a lot of us are starting to miss out on with the way that the world is today. So I'm happy. I'm happy that we have created this energy to travel with.
So we can all find this information on your blog, heyfranhey.com, correct?
Yes. And okay. We actually are going to have an official tour site that is launching on February 23rd that will list all of the cities. We'll have the direct links with the sponsors and all the information you need to know, even the structure of the tour in case you have any questions, you know, information on myself and my two team members. So all of that will be up on February 23rd, thesupernaturalwellness.com.
Okay, perfect. So going back to your blog, so I wanted you to just talk a bit about today about your chronic health issues that you've experienced in the past, and mm-hmm. And what took you to take a more holistic approach to your health.
Yeah, well, when I turned 24, 25, I started suffering from kidney infections. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure where it was coming from. My kidney was just all over the place. It was infection after infection. And then I started developing kidney stones. Then through the kidney stones, I had one that was way too big, and it actually got lodged, which then started causing bladder problems and bladder infections. You know, just suffering, it literally felt like it was from one night to the next. I mean, I was fine. Yeah, I was fine. And then all of a sudden, one day I woke up and it felt like I could not get out of the bed. And I literally had to, like, it felt like such a scene from a Lifetime movie. Like, I threw myself off the bed. I was crawling on the floor to get to the phone, and it was just a crazy, I was like, what is happening today? What is this? I called a friend of mine, and he was able to come to my house and literally drag me and carry me to the emergency room, which luckily was just a couple blocks away. And I was hospitalized for a few days, and they honestly could not figure out why I was suffering from all these infections and stones. And I was on Percocet and Vicodin and in and out of the hospital. You know, when you're on such heavy medication, obviously it helped so much with the pain. You know, I was always on morphine when I was, you know, in the hospital. But it was the quality of life that it just completely disintegrated. Like, I was losing weight, losing my hair, didn't want to eat anything, didn't have any energy to participate in anything, always sleeping just to kind of like sleep off the reality of my health. And one day I woke up and I actually had a scheduled surgery. They wanted to put a catheter in me, and I panicked when I realized that, you know, this is awful. I'm 25.
Right.
I don't want a catheter, you know? And I told my mom, I'm not doing it. I'm not going back to the hospital. And she was kind of like, what are you talking about? You know, this is not a game. You have to do this. If the doctor said you have to do it, then you have to do it. And I told her no. And I said, I'm going to buy a juicer. Mm-hmm. And I bought a bunch of juicing books and started studying anatomy and trying to figure out, like, what does the kidney need to regenerate? Like, what is it that I may be deficient in? What did I do to create this environment for my kidney? And I just started studying. I obsessively began studying the human body and went and started getting acupuncture. I started going for walks. Then the walks turned into jogs. The jogs turned into running. Started taking yoga. Just really went deep into a stronger relationship with my body, which I think had been missing in my life already. I think when you're like young and slim, you assume that like working out and taking care of your body isn't really a priority.
Yep.
But, you know, I learned very quickly that it has nothing to do with the outer appearance. And I took that seriously, and everything changed. Within 3 months, my kidney was fine. I remember when I went for the 3-month checkup and they did the scans, and the first thing my doctor did was look at me with these huge eyes. He was like, what did you do? And I started telling him about the herbs that I had been drinking, the teas, how I completely changed my diet, about the runs around Central Park, the yoga, just, you know, how even journaling, just lowering my stress levels, mm-hmm. everything that I did, all the different details that I don't think people realize have such a great impact on your health. I literally just took a holistic approach to figuring out this kidney issue, and it worked. I mean, I did that. I even changed my shampoo, my conditioner, my lotion, my deodorant. I mean, you name it. I went there and it made a huge difference. I haven't even been to the doctor since. I haven't even had a cold. Like, I just, yeah, I have not, since the age of 25, I have not had a cold. I have not been sick. I haven't had fevers. My kidney has not acted up again. I mean, it's been a blessing. I literally feel like I regenerated my body in its entirety through changing my lifestyle. So in a weird way, it was scary that it happened, but it was almost like that rock bottom feeling of that happening created like a completely new foundation for me to build an entirely new life on. So it was pretty awesome.
Wow. That's an incredibly powerful story. Like, in so many ways, like, I'm hearing that, I'm just like, wow, I'm like, you took your power back in so
Absolutely.
Many ways. Like, and I know that you have a line on your site that says, I stopped looking for the light, decided to become it instead. Can
yes.
you, I feel like those are correlated, like your story and that line. Can you just kind of elaborate on like that line?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the impact of that line for me in my life is just that I stopped expecting people to have the answers for me. You know, the doctors, everyone around me who was telling me, you have to go, you have to do this, you know, you have to get the catheter, everything that I've ever done where I've had, I felt like I had to listen to someone else tell me versus me listening to what I felt was right, what resonated for me, what my gut instinct was telling me. You know, I'm even looking back, my mom says, thank God you didn't listen to me.
Yeah.
She was just a nervous, you know, she was a nervous mom, which I understand. I feel like if I had a child, I'd probably have done the same thing. You know, all of my friends that were mad at me because they felt that I was being rebellious at the wrong time. And they just were like, please go to the surgery. Like, this isn't a time to play with this. And everyone was just like, thank God that you listened to yourself over anybody else. And so I think that's where that messaging comes in for me. And it's, you know, it's replayed itself in so many different realms, whether it's been relationships, career, health, where I've just stuck to what makes the most sense to me first and then kind of built from there. And it always works out. It always works out. So that I had to make that my slogan kind of on my site, because I was literally built my online presence on that sentiment. So that's where that comes from.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Now, speaking of, you know, staying in touch and in tune with your own body and really learning how to listen to what you need, being an online presence can really throw a wrench in that, right? Because it's, you know, being on the internet, and especially being a little bit known, or in your case, a lot known on the internet, it can make it a really intense place. And one of our friends, Tish, she's one of your fans under the handle Love and Kiwi. You might recognize her.
I do.
Yeah. We love Tish. And she wanted to know, kind of as relates to that, how do you recenter? And like, how do you find your own inner peace on the internet when it does just get so intense and you've got so many voices coming in from so many places?
I get off the internet. That's honestly the best way to go about it. I share what I've researched. I share my work through the podcast. I share my work through the videos on YouTube, through the curated information I find. Because, you know, people ask me, well, where did you learn this? Or what blogs do you read? What's your favorite book? You know, I share all of that on payforhate.com. So I try to share, or rather, I try to contribute what I can through those mediums, and then I get off the internet. Because I feel like that's my only job at this point, is to create conversation, contribute to conversation. But I think when I begin to take in all of the opinions about it, that's when it can start changing what I may think, you know, the research I'm doing. I don't like to feel like I will begin to question myself. So I learned to just create and leave, if that makes sense. I love the engagement aspect, to be honest. That's probably my favorite. Like, on Instagram, I literally respond to everyone. On Facebook, on Twitter, I try my best, but I've even minimized that because it does take a toll, you know, when you have people who may simply just be bored, or they are looking for attention, and unfortunately some people look for attention in negative ways and might troll you and say something that to them is all in fun, but they have no idea what your day was like, you know, and it can be such a tricky way to navigate the internet. But I've just learned the less I'm on the internet, the less I take on any of the weight of negativity. So that's sort of been what's worked best for me, honestly.
So I actually have a question for you from another fan, my friend Mariette, who's a big fan of our podcast. And when I told her we were talking to you, she completely freaked out.
That's awesome.
And so here's her question. How do I know, or how does it feel like when I am on the right path? Because sometimes I doubt myself and wonder if I'm getting closer to my goals or if I'm wasting my time. So I guess that's the question. How does it feel like when you know when you're on the right path?
Well, speaking for myself, I don't feel resistance. Like, there isn't this feeling of, am I doing the right thing or am I not? I think once all of that kind of melts away and I wake up in the morning genuinely excited about what I'm learning, excited about what I'm creating, we're almost, you know, there are days where I have to tell myself, Frank, go to sleep, stop reading, stop trying to, you know, edit. Like, you almost can't get enough of yourself, if that makes sense. You're genuinely excited about yourself. You feel impressed by your own thoughts, your own work. It's like, you know, I think people worry so much about what people think about their work, or feeling these external pressures of, like, you know, pressures that people put on themselves, self-imposed pressure of what people expect of you. I think when that kind of starts melting away and you're more so excited about what you think of yourself, I think that's when you found that stride. I really feel like that's what has changed for me, where I'm genuinely happy with who I'm becoming. I'm happy with how I think now. And there's this, like, really cool alignment of my work, of my life. Everything is genuine. You know, I'm not a gimmick. Like, I'm not a personality per se online. This is, like, who I am online is who I am in real life. And there's a perfect alignment there. And it's cool to make a living off of being yourself. I was just at the Huffington Post the other day for their live show. We did a live stream. And I literally went to the set in a hoodie. And I had, you know, a jean jacket that was, like, $5 thrifted jacket. Had my hair out. Like, it just felt so cool. Like, here I am on set being streamed to over a million people. And I'm just me. You know, I had... the information I offered was stuff I'd been studying. People were interested in it, asking awesome questions, and I just felt so calm. I felt so calm. I wasn't even nervous, and I realized that what greater calm will you feel than just being yourself for a living? So if that makes sense, you know, I think that's what it is. It's just being yourself and not feeling like you have to turn anything on to impress people.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's kind of the I mean, that's like the dream, you know? So you just kind of like walk your entire life with just grace and ease, and you're just like, this is who I am, like, you know, okay.
Yeah, and it feels nice that you can walk into a room just being who you are with ease, and people are genuinely excited about who you are. I think that's really cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. Me too. You know, when Margaret was reading your bio, she was talking about, she mentioned mental and emotional hygiene. And those words, I know we talk about kind of like mental health and emotional health sometimes, but the word hygiene with those kind of stood out to me, because it's kind of like, you know, we talk about hygiene like showering and brushing your teeth, and that's something every day or very often. But I don't think that people think about emotions and mental health that way. Like, I don't think most people have like a practice to deal with mental health or to deal with emotions and feelings. So just wondering, you know, how do you manage your own emotions? And then what advice can you give to other people, other than what obviously you've said some amazing stuff today, but what other kind of like things that people, like something that someone could start to do today that would really help their emotional health and I guess their overall physical well-being as well?
Yeah, totally. I think I use the word hygiene because, like you said, hygiene is something we do daily. And I think when it comes to mental health, people usually wait until they feel really bad or really down, or they wait for something to happen to make them feel like, oh, I need to prioritize my mental health. Whereas I feel mental health and hygiene is a daily practice. It's not just when you feel bad, but also on the days you feel good, on the days you don't feel anything. It's managing your emotions regardless of what part of the spectrum you're on. And, you know, I have my daily rituals that help me maintain those harder days where I can almost catch them before they happen. Or if I do have a hard day, I kind of understand my process and getting through it a little bit better. So it's just building that relationship with your mind and with your emotions and trying to understand, you know, what works for me. What when I fall into this slump, what are the things that will pull me out of it? Because it's not a one size fits all. You know, you see a lot of blogs like, here are 5 tips for, you know, mental health aids or tools, but that doesn't help everyone. We're all wired so differently. We all have different stories of our childhood, different environments that we come from. So my advice, at least what has worked for me, is creating what I call like a mental health kit. And it's something that you know is customized to your emotional needs. For myself, I am someone, as funny as it may sound, sensuality is what calms me. So I love lighting, like cool you know, ambiance in my house. So I have like cool lighting all over my house, whether it's this laser light that I bought that projects the galaxy on my ceiling.
Oh, cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, you know, so when I feel like I'm having a panic attack or I need to kind of just like press pause for a second, I turn off all the lights in my house, put on the cool lighting, I put on a cool playlist of like my favorite calming songs that kind of put me in a good headspace. I love scents, so I have like oil diffusers with my different oils, whether it's lavender or orange and vanilla. Like, you know, like sensuality for me, it's not just setting up your home for a romantic setting, but also for yourself. Like, this is the stuff that calms me. And, you know, I've learned that about myself. I love creating an ambiance that totally relaxes me. And so that's my mental health kit.
And it seems like that's so attuned to, like, you know, like you were saying, like, that's what calms you down, you know?
So yeah,
a little bit of introspection before you can kind of get there to be like, all right, what is it that really like chills me the heck out? Like after a long day, what is that? What is that thing? What is that vibe? How can I get there? I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And I tell people all the time, you know, that may not be your vibe. Your vibe may be to go for a run. Maybe you need air. Maybe you need to be social. I'm an introvert, so being alone recharges me. But I have friends who they need to be around people to be recharged. So they might need to go to an art exhibit. They might need to go to see a movie. They might need to go to a lounge. So it's going to be different for everyone. But I think the key is knowing what recharges you, what helps you feel better, and then writing that down and making sure that you can create that environment for yourself when you need to and make it accessible. If you can put those seeds in a box and keep it somewhere in your closet, and when you know that heavy feeling is hitting, you pull out that box and get in your zone. I mentioned on the Friend Zone recently, we always think of the sense of calm being a location, whether it's like, oh, I got to go to yoga, or it's always something external. Oh, I have to go do this, I have to go do that. But making yourself the location of calm is the best way to go about it. So if you have to carry your mental health kit with you in your purse or whatever it is that you have to do, just make sure that it's accessible so that you can have that sense of calm whenever you need it.
Fantastic. Now, while we're talking about music, it's worth noting that your Spotify playlists are amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And so we've got to know, first up, what artists are you really feeling right now?
Oh, man, there's so many. Let's see. Who are the top artists? I'm in love with Anderson .Paak. He to me is just so magical. He's a multi-instrumentalist, and I'm in love with musicians that create from scratch, so he's at the top of my list. There's an artist named Sir from California, from LA, who is incredible. There's a group called The Internet, and they're incredible.
I love The Internet.
Yeah, they're so awesome. I love her voice, the lead singer. Yeah, so yeah, I think those are probably my top three for now. I'm always listening to music. I'm waiting for Miguel to come back out. He's one of my favorite writers and singers. So, yeah, that's probably my top for now.
So I wanted to ask you, because you were talking about DIY remedies. So I'm a person with chronically chapped lips because I overused cheap lip balm, like, since I was a teenager. You know, what are your suggestions to keep my lips from stop feeling like sandpaper, especially at night? I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, ah, this sucks.
You know what's actually helped me? I take a damp wash rag and like gently rub my lips at night, like before going to bed. Mm-hmm. Really gently though, because you know the skin on your lips is so sensitive. Mm-hmm. But gently rub it with like warm water until the dead skin comes off, and moisturize it before bed. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we take for granted how well skin regenerates for before bed and while you're sleeping. I usually lather myself from head to toe with like serums and creams right before bed. And when you wake up, your skin is just so lush and it like penetrated really well. So I'll put like argan oil on my lips before bed. Yeah. And you know, oiling your lips is actually really awesome. It's something that's a really cool ritual to have before bed, just oiling your body in general. So when you wake up in the morning, your skin just looks so supple and dewy, and it's just like a really cool way to keep your skin super clear and healthy. That's helped me a lot, even with my lips. So that's something that I would suggest.
Okay, cool.
So I feel like we could probably just keep talking to you for like the next 4 hours, but I do want to be mindful of your time. So I'm gonna ask the last question, which is something that we ask all of our podcast guests, which is what is the last song that you listened to before you did this interview? And there's like no guilt or shame here. It's just like we're not judging, you know.
It's
just
face.
Yeah.
I listened to Blue and Green by Miles Davis.
Oh my gosh.
Awesome.
Yes, because he's part of my morning routine, which I have like a playlist of like calm music that kind of helps me wake up in the morning. Oh. I like to stimulate all of my senses. I feel like that is a cool way to wake up with the scents and music, and he's part of that in the morning. So that's one of the last songs that I heard before I spoke to you guys.
Oh, I love that. I wonder if I did that for my daughter, if she would wake up better, because she woke up screaming this morning. Maybe I should just put on Miles Davis. Like, we have a few Miles Davis records. I could just pop that on and see what happens.
Oh, I promise you, she'll wake up like totally vibey and hugging you and good morning.
That's on my to-do list for tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. You are a fantastic guest. Like she said, we could talk to you forever. I mean, we have to have you on the show again.
I would love to. You guys are awesome. The energy was super cool. So anytime you guys want me back, I'm here. And this is awesome. Thank you. The questions were great. I loved it.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and a review. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram, believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book vs. Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.